Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. I am Dan, and of course we have Hartley here as usual. Not a lot going on these days. I mean, there is a lot going on, but it's like we're getting like little, if I can just quote my English friends, we're getting little bits and bobs every every day, right? Little, is that the correct way you guys say it?
Yeah. I guess so.
I always really like that. And speaking of those little bits and bobs, we're getting we've got a few with iOS 19. I know we've been talking about it over the last few weeks, but we just keep getting more and more. This whole thing kind of stems from, I think it was on Sunday night, John Prosser, good friend, on his YouTube channel, Front Page Tech, he released a video kind of doubling down on the stuff that he initially claimed to have seen when it comes to iOS 19. And he has a team of people that, you know, help create some renders. And so the visuals are renders based off of the stuff that he has allegedly seen to be iOS 19. So, a couple of things I want to point out here on these new renders. One, you know, I'm guessing, you know, these are really high quality renders and animations that we have. So I wanted to believe that maybe, you know, the renders that they made are not quite exactly what he's seen and he's just trying to describe. But I feel like they're probably pretty close, which is a real disappointment because those icons, in my opinion, are not good. I would love to hear your thoughts.
I think that they look good.
Really?
Although we should say that John isn't 100% sure that they are going to be there. He believes that what Apple has done is disabled that change on the test devices that are currently running iOS 19 internally. But when you long press on an app, he says that the shape of the app icon changes and seems to allude to the fact that it is hidden. And I think this makes more sense because I can't really see Apple moving all the way to round icons. I'd quite like it if they did. But I think that those squircle icons that we have right now are too distinctive. And so Apple probably is not going to move away from those. But I can imagine it rounding them out a little bit more.
I just don't like it. Or maybe it's just the, you know, so if you notice that there's like this weird, like shiny outline on them, and I know that that was used in some of the toggles to kind of give you the effect of like a shimmer effect, because that was also rumored in this whole thing, is that a lot of the elements throughout the UI that if you like, depending on how you turn your phone, specifically the toggles on the lock screen. There's those, you know, the ones that you can now customize, but it was the flashlight and camera for the longest time. Those kind of give you a glimmer effect. So if you look at the renders, they have this little like shine. And so I've noticed that's probably the biggest thing that I don't like on these icons is that not only do I just want them to go full round at this point, you're like 85, 90% of the way there. Just finish it off, man. But it's that there's that weird stuff behind it, right? Or am I just seeing things? Doesn't it kind of have that same little shine to it? And some it doesn't look good.
All of the elements do. So that is the big thing with iOS 19. It is moving toward a lot more translucency, a lot more rounded corners. And the elements are meant to look more like 3D floating glass panes, a little bit like Vision OS.
And I'm okay. I am very much entitled to change my opinion on these once I actually see the final thing. And so I'm also giving Apple the benefit of the doubt to where I don't think it looks good in this render. This isn't the real thing. So my hopes is that when I do see it and I actually see the effect take place, it doesn't look the way it does here. And like that effect will go away when you're not moving your phone or doing some sort of animation. And then I'll be a little bit okay with it. But that like shine that's behind it on the icons does not look great. And that's just my only gripe. And also, you know, you can just go completely round and it would be totally fine, but whatever. So that's kind of my thought on the icons there. Are you kind of believing that this is the case, that they were hidden behind this like long press that you have to do to showcase them, which I do believe Apple would do. Because like you said, if anybody was to look over somebody's shoulder and see, oh, what do you got there? Also, I would also assume that maybe they just customize their icons. I don't know. Like, that's very possible. But you can't actually change the shape of them. So would anyone notice at first glance, like a normal everyday person that just happens to look over?
It's not so much about ordinary people, I think. It's just
where they're at.
it's those engineers may not need to know about that change if they're working on something else. So why spoil it for them? Very often, iOS 19, many of the engineers, with a new release of iOS, many of the engineers are not aware of every single thing that is in that software release. If they are responsible for the Maps app, they will only know about what they are doing with the Maps app. So while they're running a version of iOS 19 with that new version of the Maps app, everything else on that device will be disabled until a fairly late stage. And even then, there may be other things that come later. It isn't the case that just because you are running iOS 19 that you necessarily will know everything that is in that new piece of software.
No, this is true too, because the amount of people that have come up to me that work at Apple and have said, we find out most of the changes, you know, that we're not involved in through Mac Rumors or other websites. It's hilarious. So, but I just find it funny that like this person probably does not need to know that the icons changed, but discovered them by accidentally long pressing. Like they couldn't figure it out a different way to hide that or like put a passcode on it or something. I don't know.
I assume it was just a bug. I mean, beta releases, it's a bug. So it sort of flashes on screen. I don't think it's that it's an intentional thing. I think it was just an oversight to just try and tuck it under the carpet.
Well, now it's leaked out. If this is of course true, so it's all alleged. We don't know for sure. I don't think John would at this point in his life be reporting on things if he wasn't sure that he at least saw something. Now, whether or not that's reliable from his source is, you know, another thing, or if he's, you know, I don't know. But that I do like the way this is going. I think this will look nice. I think it'll be different enough to satisfy like us nerds who want something different without maybe making it too crazy. I mean, there's obviously way more stuff that we haven't seen yet, but as of right now, I don't see a whole lot of functional designs changes that would like upset people. Isn't that something that Gurman said, that like there would be some learning curves for most people now with this change?
I think one of the changes that that John outlined, which is this new pill-shaped bar at the bottom of the screen, may be a little bit controversial.
I personally
really like it. So this is a new element that would replace what we have come to know as the traditional tab bar that is always at the bottom of many apps. And specifically, I think one of the most controversial changes will be that when you tap search, the search bar will expand into that pill at the bottom. And then you will need to tap out of that by pressing a button on the left. So the whole bar kind of transforms.
Okay, so that could be a little bit of a learning curve there.
So I quite like that. I think it's very clean, and I don't mind the keyboard, the search bar being at the bottom. I think it makes sense because it's near where your fingers are. But if we remember what people thought when the Safari bar changed, people did not like that at all. Even if I think it makes sense,
I was going to say
people get very set in their ways. So
I might be one of the few people who actually kind of liked that Safari. I didn't have a problem with it. I don't know that I felt strongly about it one way or another. You know, at first I was kind of like, what are we doing? Where is everything? And then, you know, once you get used to it, it is kind of nice. Makes it a lot cleaner. So maybe we'll go back to that. Maybe Apple will be like, you know what? Deal with it. Now you've got a pill bar everywhere. So now you've got to deal with this in everything. and it is rumored to be across everything. So not only, you know, we saw pretty a lot much. Of it in the music app, but in messages, there's the search bar being down at the bottom makes so much more sense.
I think it's just very interesting quite how comprehensive of a redesign this looks like it will be. What is more interesting to me, actually, and what we didn't see in these specific renders, is how this translates to macOS, because macOS is also rumored to get this redesign. And when you've got a large desktop, there's a lot of opportunity for quite interesting translucency. So I'm interested in how multiple windows layer up together and how much the background shows through. How much translucency are we talking here? On the iPhone, I can understand sort of lighting and shimmer effects because you move that device, but you don't really move your Mac. I mean, if you're using your studio display on your desk, that thing isn't moving at all. So how are those lighting effects going to work? I think it'll be very interesting.
Do you think there'd be some sort of a resemblance to a pill bar, but maybe more at the top, like the toolbars become something like that? Maybe something that when you hover your mouse over, it expands into more options? Or what do you think on that? Because I don't know how Mac, you know, you can't kind of go one for one with the iOS, iPadOS version of that. You kind of have to change it when it comes to the Mac there. So what do you think?
I agree. I think in general, the toolbar is in need of a bit of attention. It's very easy to get that filled up with different icons, and you can turn to third-party apps that try to truncate that. But I would quite like to see that reconsidered, especially now that we have the notch on every MacBook. I think it's probably time to reconsider at least how that is presented.
I agree. Man, I'm so excited for WWDC. This stuff is just my favorite thing. It's weird. We don't usually see or get a lot of info, or we do get info and it ends up being wrong, just like things that don't happen.
I suppose because this is such a big change, it's very hard for Apple to keep this secret. And also, let's not forget one of the most important fundamentals of why there are leaks about what Apple is doing. It's because Apple engineers are excited by it. And in some respects, it's actually very much in Apple's interest to build some enthusiasm in the community, to have those little hints about what's coming, because it means that people tune in.
I agree. I think that people will really, I don't know. I just feel like the design, you don't want to fix what's not broken, but I just feel like it's been since iOS 7. That's a long time. And like, I just think it's getting stagnant and stale. And we just want a little bit more, you know, visual changes. That makes sense. Don't just change it for the sake of changing it. But, you know, a little overhaul would be nice. And speaking of overhauls, apparently we're seeing some rumors about a Vision OS style redesign also coming to the Apple Watch. A little curious on what you think about this and if you can give us a little bit more details on all of that.
So this is a two-part report. One of them, I 100% believe.
Okay.
The other part, I nearly 100% disbelieve. So
let's start with the believable stuff first.
I completely believe that it is getting the Vision OS style redesign. It would be strange for the Apple Watch to be left out of that. If we're expecting to see it on the iPhone, the iPad, and the Mac, to me it makes sense that the Apple Watch will also inhabit that. And bear in mind how simple Apple Watch apps are. Mm-hmm. We're really only talking about a few icons here or there, or some tweaked app icons, very simple changes.
I mean, the app icons are already around to begin with, so.
so it's a pretty good start. But I suppose we're more so talking about, like, say, in the Messages app, and when you click Compose, that they will now have a little bit more translucency. And also, the Apple Watch has a more powerful GPU now, so it should be able to handle that. I mean, after all, that was part of one of the main drivers behind the watchOS 10 redesign, was that the Apple Watch now had the capability to be able to run a much more GPU-intensive interface than when the device debuted, and it was a lot more simple. So I completely believe that. The bit I'm not really too sure about is the idea that the Apple Watch Ultra will get exclusive AI features.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, listen, Genmoji on your watch sounds not fun. I mean, I guess if you had... I don't know. I guess you can maybe make it work if there was some, like, one-tap recommendations or something. Its own chip, it being its own exclusive chip, I guess a little more believable than some of the others, but, like, new Siri that will gather activity information, AI health monitoring, sleep tracking, only being exclusive, the Apple Watch Ultra 3 this year with all of the other things that Apple has to fix and make, you know, some changes to. I just don't see that happening, but I guess it would be really cool. It would certainly make the Ultra more appealing for more of the everyday users.
I think the features are believable. The thing that is suspect here is the chip.
Okay.
Because the Apple Watch right now has 1 gigabyte of memory.
Yeah.
The requirement to run Apple Intelligence is 8 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And historically, the Apple Watch Ultra has always had the same chip as the mainline Apple Watch. I know it doesn't right now. It's got one generation behind. But what I mean to say is, at the point that that Apple Watch Ultra has debuted, whatever the mainline Apple Watch is, has got the same chip. For Apple to debut an entirely new chip, mm-hmm. with substantially more memory and also presumably more storage to be able to run these models locally, but not put it in the standard Apple Watch, would be strange, considering that the standard Apple Watch doesn't really have that many new features nowadays. Right. Why keep that to the Ultra? Ultra customers are still going to buy an Ultra. It's not really going to upsell people because they get Genmoji. It would make sense to bring this to the whole lineup.
Yeah. I can see the chip being different because Apple does that in most products already, but making these features, you know, exclusive is a part that I agree with you with. It's going to be weird.
But also, Apple Watch chips are a bit different to the chips on every other device.
Sure.
Because Apple doesn't really make new Apple Watch chips very often at all. The S10 is just a more compact version of the S9. It isn't more powerful. It doesn't have different cores. Mm-hmm. It's not faster in any way. It is the same chip, just smaller. The S7, S8, and S9 are all the same. They are literally the same components. They just are relabeled. They have the same CPU identifiers. So for Apple to go from a culture where it makes an Apple Watch chip last 3 years to suddenly developing different chips for different devices in that lineup would be a huge departure. And typically what it does is it just scales down something else. So the current Apple Watch chip is basically an A16, but super scaled down. Is it going to take an A18 and scale it down next time? Maybe. But I wouldn't expect that this year, because historically it's kept the Apple Watch chips around for effectively 3 generations, and this would be the 3rd year of that. So maybe it will get some AI-adjacent features. Maybe the origin of this rumor is related to this AI health coach that we've heard about for the iPhone's health app. Maybe there are some integrations where the iPhone is feeding data to the watch through that.
Can it just work together? And I know it doesn't. Apple would prefer, for privacy's sake and everything, to like have it processed locally. But why do we need that for the watch? Can't it just work with your phone where it could still remain private? It's just between your devices.
I imagine that that's probably how this will look if we see this year. And there are some AI features that do run locally on the watch. We've mentioned before about how you get notification summaries, even though that's an Apple Intelligence feature. It wouldn't even shock me if they just slipped Genmoji in there with a new chip maybe 2 years from now. But I think while the Apple Watch is destined to get Apple Intelligence, this probably isn't the year for it, given everything else that's going on.
I agree. I also think this probably isn't the year for any of the redesign stuff, but I feel a lot of people also agree. judging by the comments that I'm getting, where, you know, people are upset that we're not getting the bug fixes and Siri features that we were once promised. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. We also got a few other pieces of information regarding the iPhone 17 for this year, mostly centered around the Pro. So, I mean, it's nothing really that we don't already know, but I guess a few cases have showcased a few huge camera bumps, right? Like,
yeah, and it's just interesting to see. It's just just really emphasizes quite how large this camera bump now is, because it extends across the whole of the back of the device. So if you imagine your iPhone right now, however tall that square is will probably remain the same, but now taking up the full width of that device.
Yeah.
That's a significant part of the phone that is now going to be exposed. I actually don't hate it, but it's just quite shocking when you actually see it on an accessory like this.
It's also like one third less of the case, so I expect one third of the price to be knocked off. They don't have to make, they don't have to make half the back over there. So yeah, I mean, I like the camera like visor bump that they, you know, have been reportedly rumored to have, and a lot of other companies, you know, Google and a couple others out there that are kind of doing this already. I don't mind it. Although, shout out to the Pixel 9a that just got released today. They were able to just put the cameras flush. I mean, would you sacrifice a little bit of sensor quality if it meant that you can make the cameras completely flush and your phone be completely flat?
I used to be on that train of thought and really care about having the cameras flat. I just don't care anymore. I think.
Do you use a case still, or are you caseless?
I don't use a case. What annoys me more is the wobble. But I don't really mind it being inclined. And actually, the wobble should be less severe with this.
Well, sure, because it's
because it goes all the way across. So there'll still be a little bit, because I imagine the lenses will still protrude from the bump. But it will be less bad. And ultimately, this is a way of Apple making more space inside the device. And if that allows more space for a larger battery while still being comfortable to hold, I'm completely okay with that.
But why do the lenses need to be, if we're getting a larger bump, just increase the bump a little bit more and make it so that at least the lenses stay flush to the bump.
Like, but I suppose they still want it to be proportionate and not be too extreme.
I don't know. I don't agree with that design choice, but I don't work at Apple and I'm not making those decisions. So, you know, whatever they'll put out, I'm sure I will enjoy, but I see that it's possible. And you know, it's not like the cameras, I haven't tested this phone yet. I will be soon, but I can't imagine that the cameras are going to be terrible. So I feel like if people tried hard enough, if we really put all those smart people's engineering brains to the test here, we could come up with a way to get those cameras flush. But if everyone's using a case and I'm in the very small minority of, you know, people who don't, and it doesn't matter. So, but yeah, that's one of the rumors surrounding the iPhone 17. But kind of sticking with the cameras here, it looks like Apple is bringing in, which is a feature that exists on, you know, for sure Samsung phones. I've already tested this before, dual recording, which I kind of do like. I don't know that I'd ever use. I guess because I don't have it on a daily phone that I use, I can't really tell you that. But I never really thought about using it a whole lot when using the Samsung Galaxy S25 or 24. I think it's been around for a few years, where you can basically record the front-facing camera and the rear-facing camera at the same time during video. So if you're a vlogger or you want to make a reel or a TikTok or something cool, I don't know, you can kind of get both perspectives. Maybe that might be interesting. The more I talk about it and think about it, I'm trying to think of like use cases. If you want to get your reaction to something that you're watching, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a lot of fights.
Deal for, yeah.
people filming a fight and then just reacting themselves.
That's all it's for, is just reactions. Yeah. I think fights. It's a pretty big deal.
That's all it's for. It's for fights.
This is going to be an interesting demo at the Apple event.
Just Tim Cook comes out and punches Craig in the face, and then someone is just, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, but I just feel like that's all it's for is reactionary videos.
It's for content creators. I mean, I don't think I'm really going to be in the habit of using this feature, but I imagine that if you've got 50,000, 100,000 followers and you make video content and you want to film yourself doing stuff, but you need your reaction to be able to cut between that, this would just make things a huge amount easier. And Apple's done a lot to make the iPhone a much more creator-friendly device. Sure. So I think it fits.
Forces them all to get the Pro. Forces those who think they're content creators to get the Pro. No offense to those who are doing reactionary content for a living, but it's not my favorite style because I feel like
No offense to those having fights.
Well, now those, hold on a minute. I didn't say that. Everybody likes to see a good fight every once in a while. Even as a parent, I'm trying to think of like what would be, you know, I'm not going to send a video to my dad of my kids doing something cool with like my reaction.
Kids fighting.
I'd have so many of those videos because they fight all the time, but it's mostly verbal. There's very rarely any physical altercations, at least not in front of us. They know better. I don't know. It's such a cool feature for those who want it. I don't care. There's no reason not to have it personally. So I'm sure they'll market it in a way that, you know, they're not going to showcase fights on stage. So I'm sure they'll market it in a way that it's appealing to other situations that I haven't thought of. But I like that. I think we need more camera specific features for the Pro. I know we have a few here and there, but like I want to see more of this stuff. I also, correct me if I'm wrong, on the slow-mo we get 120 frames per second, but there is no, as far as I know, feature that can extend using AI, right? Like extend clips that way. Are that 120 frames per second is just 120 frames per second? It's not doing any AI processing, correct?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so like a lot of other companies have started to do this where you can shoot content normally and then extend or automatically slow down the clips later, and it'll use AI to kind of like take the clips and regenerate extra frames to make it work. And it's crazy, and it does work well. Like that stuff I find useful. If you're like, oh man, I wish I would have like taken a slow-mo of this clip. Well, you can go ahead and slow it down later, and it would, no one would ever know that you didn't, you know, do that while shooting. So I think that's the kind of stuff that I want to see. Go ahead and borrow some more of these features from, I hate to say it, but Samsung and Google. They're doing a good job with these camera features and AI, so that's what I want to see. The other thing is that Vision Pro 2 apparently is now in production, so that kind of hints that one should be coming relatively soon. You think fall or early next year? Okay.
Yeah.
You think it'd be in the fall or
late this year, early next year time frame, apparently. Okay. And this kind of lines up with some other reports that we've heard. It's just going to be a chip bump to the M5. Yeah. But I think I'm okay with that if it comes with a price cut.
Okay.
I think that M5 and price cut would allow a lot of people to jump back into the Vision Pro, myself included. And give it another chance, because there have been a lot of improvements to the software. Hopefully there will be further improvements with Vision OS 3 this year. And I imagine that there would be some device-specific features because of the M5 in this eventually. And maybe I'll have a much better experience the next time around. But it's a hard sell at $3,500. I think at the very least, try to get it under $3,000. And it starts to be more in Mac territory. I actually think that as it stands today, considering not a lot of people are using it, $2,500 would be pretty good. Yeah.
I feel like you'd get more, even a few more casual people who are like, I'm interested in that, but I don't want to spend upwards of $4,000. $25,000, you might kind of, maybe. I don't know. I still wouldn't recommend it to those who don't have like a daily use case for it, even though it is great. It's just really hard to spend that much money. That's exciting, kind of. I was kind of hoping there'd be a little more to it than that. Maybe a couple of new features, like from the hardware perspective. Maybe we'll get some new like bands for fit or something.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a new band. I think the actual hardware of the device itself will remain the same and reuse components from the first generation other than the M5. But I think Apple would do well to include a more comfortable headband.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Couple more things that we've seen over the last week. The smart home hub being delayed until 2026 because of Siri is not what I want to hear.
Please. We were expecting it last month initially. Yeah. So this is a pretty huge delay, but it's
why do we got to wait till next year? Just do it in September.
Because Siri isn't ready. It's a device that is almost entirely dependent on Siri, and Siri's not in a good way right now.
Get it ready. There, you've heard it first. That's the easy fix. I mean, if it's not ready, just get it ready. What are we doing here? So that's disappointing. So I'm guessing Siri features and this home hub are just going to debut together at this point. And the line I want to talk about real quick, Johnny Ive working on a smartphone without a screen, and he's doing this for OpenAI. How do you feel?
I'm intrigued. I don't know what a smartphone without a screen even looks like. Does it just look like the Vision Pro battery? Just a big lump of metal?
Just a bar. Well, I envision like a chunky bar of some sort. like an old school, you know, candy bar shaped phone. Have you seen the Lite Phone 3 has been kind of going around lately? Which I'm very intrigued by.
I can imagine that this device would really appeal to people like that. If you want to kind of switch off, you don't want to get sucked into social media, but you do still want the security of something reliable for asking questions and looking stuff up effectively, getting answers quickly, but without getting pulled in the way that you normally do. It may actually be a much more ostensibly healthy device to use. So I'm intrigued, and I'm sure it will look great if Johnny Ive is working on it.
Yeah. But does it matter what it looks like if you're not pulling it out every 5 seconds and using it? It's something that effectively stays in your pocket. It could look like nothing and it doesn't matter.
That's true. But I mean, they got Johnny. They could get Johnny Ive, so they got Johnny Ive.
So I know nothing about this really, aside from, you know, the bare minimum. Is this something that like I talk to and it the speakers and on the phone would give me my answer, and then I'm guessing Bluetooth pairing. How do I Bluetooth pair without a screen? Like,
I mean, if I there's any voice assistant that should be capable of achieving that sort of
helping
thing,
you.
I would trust OpenAI to be able to have an entire settings that you navigate singularly by voice. Now, I wouldn't trust Apple to do that, but I would trust OpenAI to.
Ouch. I just see this as something that isn't going to work. I want it to work. I'm not rooting for it to fail. I think that'd be interesting because I would, you know, lately I've been, after seeing the Lite phone and like just knowing how much time we spend on our phones, and like, I know it's never going to happen and it's really hard for me to do, but like, I would just like to not use my phone a lot or at all, really, unless I'm at work and I need to. But yeah, I'm more and more intrigued by these, or I'm like looking at smaller phones. So we're like, oh, it's small to the point where I don't know that I'm going to want to use this to like be on it a lot, or like the battery is not good. So I got to use it sparingly. Like I pulled out my iPhone 13 mini the other day and I charged it up and I'm like, I could use this and just be fine. It's perfect. Perfect size to just not use my phone all the time and keep it in my pocket and just use it for when you really need it. Just got to have better willpower, I guess. Would you use something like
that? I think that's the issue, not the hardware.
Yeah, well, would you get into something like this?
I can see myself getting into it. I think that something like
actually using it.
I could imagine using it as a supplement. The biggest issue for me would probably be the lack of camera. But then again, we actually don't know.
It could have a camera.
We don't know what this device will look like, but I'm just sort of imagining if it's just a single slab, but actually you're right. Yeah, we don't know. Maybe it will have a camera, but if there's no screen, how am I going to frame that shot?
Well, so, I mean, think of it could be a little lens hole or a little, what is it? The
viewfinder.
Viewfinder. Jeez, I don't know why I couldn't. It's what I do with my job, and couldn't even think of the camera term. I mean, it could have a viewfinder on it, and you just use it like the old days. And then the pictures, it's like a little blend of like back in the day and future technology, where as soon as you take a picture, it uploads to some cloud or probably the ChatGPT app or something, some kind of cloud based website of some sort. And then there you go. You can go and check out when you want your photos. That actually is kind of cool. But like, you couldn't do, well, I guess you could. See, the more we think about what you can't do, you could do. Like, navigate to X place, and then it'll just give you directions out loud. I'm more of a visual learner, though. So if I'm in the car, I kind of want to see what the directions are. But I guess I could just use the nav in the car. It's not the biggest deal. You know, there are ways to make this work, the more I think about it. I just don't know that we're ready for something like this. This seems like too far of a departure from the norm. I mean, we weren't ready for the AI pin. That failed to the point where you can't even use it anymore.
I think ultimately, OpenAI has proven itself to be such a capable company of delivering incredibly impressive features that are actually very useful and work extremely well. I think that if there were not many companies I would trust to be able to build a device like this, but I actually do trust OpenAI.
I can see it. I can see it for sure. And, you know, Johnny Ive's got some good design skills. A little bit. He's all right at it. So I feel like he'll I feel like he'll make it look cool and hip and trendy to use, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. But of course, that is, like with everything that we talk about, something that I want to hear your thoughts on. So let us know in the comments. Hit us up. Email. I almost said text, but you don't have my number. But yeah, just hit us up and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.